Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob. And here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known.
Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. Welcome in to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, from where we are to wherever you are. This is the championship podcast. It is Thursday night, December 28th, 6:30 p.m. I'm your host, Blake, joined by Rob. Just like I said, you'll hear me later in today's show. There's a bit of time warp here.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we are after what you'll hear in the matchup section, but in the way you're listening it, we're beforehand. So, Rob is the only one here. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Sort of.
I'm a little, what's a good word? I'm a little
butthurt.
Down.
Bummed out.
Bummed out. Let's go with that. Just slightly, by missing the championship game, where it could have been an all podcast person final, but I had several people shit the bed due to terribleness or injury and lost by 8 points. Boo.
Well, you know who I'm glad is not in the championship? Tyler. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, screw that guy. He won last year. He doesn't need to even be close to the finals, so well, that's fine.
He won last year. Uh-huh.
Anywho.
Yeah, what a bitch. What a little
Monty.
Bitch
is this,
that guy is.
Hey, is this Monty's first championship game?
I think so.
I believe so. Because he got beat off, which he likes. He loves. He enjoys. I think in the first round last year, didn't he? Probably by Tyler, for all I know.
Well, no,
I don't know.
He had the week one bye again last year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He got beat up by Tyler in the second round. I wouldn't know. I didn't make the playoffs for the last two years, so I have no idea what happened in those.
Wow, brag about it.
Those times. I don't know that that's bragging. believe that's stating facts. And not, you know, who would brag about not making the playoffs, right, Chris?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right, Nate?
Chris, who's the owner and commissioner, or not commissioner, owner and GM owner of the to-be-named football team.
Yeah, and that's going to be the either yourself or Monty that get that privilege of renaming Chris.
You could have just stopped after the first name you said.
Oh. Well, make it something interesting like, I love Marines. That would be fun.
Yes, the Marines' favorite hole.
Something like that, yes.
Yep. All right, we got just a couple parter here for you guys tonight. Going to go over some news and notes like we did last week, Rob.
Yeah.
Not all of it's going to be specific to our matchups that we'll get into later, but just some general NFL news. And then I want to go in with you and talk about the six from, by my estimate, top coaching, head NFL coaching vacancies.
Okay.
And kind of what that situation is for the team. And where you think they might be moving next year.
Sounds good.
So with that, let's get into the news.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right, so not a ton of news to go over this week, but I'm just going to go down my list here.
All right, and if there's something that I feel like that's missed, I'll throw it in.
Yeah, so Jaren Hall is rookie for the Vikings, and he will be starting for them this week, benching Nick Mullins.
Yes.
I mean, where do you sit on that? Because Nick Mullins had, I mean, if you take away all the stuff I've seen after the game of him on the sideline and him talking to the head coach and, like, not giving a fuck. He actually threw a decent game.
He has way too many interceptions. I think he threw like He might have had like four touchdowns, but he had like six picks. He turns the ball over too much.
That's what he's always done, though. You know what Nick Mullins does.
Yes. I think they want to get a look at the kid. He actually played well until he got concussed. And then everything happened, right? He got concussed. They go and trade for Dobbs. Then he plays, and they're like, oh, maybe we got lightning in a bottle. Nope, we figured out he sucked like everybody else did. And then they're like, okay, Mullins is healthy. Let's go with that. And then, you know, he looked serviceable for one game. And it's like, nope, not so much. Well, Hall's healthy. Let's try that. So they're grasping at straws. They're trying to do something. They just lost two offensive weapons last week, one for the season in Hockenson. The other one might get back in the rookie sensation. And, of course, Jefferson's finally back. So they're trying to put somebody out there that can make use of the weapons they got.
They're still in the playoff race, aren't they?
They are, but barely. I mean, they're not. As if it ended now, Seattle's got the edge over them because of their loss last week. So,
all right.
They're on the outside looking in. What was that?
I said let's stick with quarterbacks then.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson with the Broncos. They are officially benching him for the rest of the season.
No. You said Deshaun Watson, and I think you meant Russell Wilson.
What did I say?
Deshaun Watson.
Ooh, so you know what I did is I said Deshaun Watson for the Browns and then stopped myself on Brock.
And then you went Broncos.
Yeah. Russell Wilson for the Broncos.
Yes.
Officially benched for the season for the quote-unquote financial security future of the team. And then word came out that it sounds like he's a prime candidate to be cut in March.
So the reason being is if he got hurt anytime between now and March, his $39 million was fully guaranteed for next year. So that's the financial security, is that we don't want him getting hurt in these last couple games when we've got nothing to play for. So you're done. And they asked him, from what I hear, several weeks ago to take this clause out of his contract, to agree to get rid of this. He wouldn't do it. So they weren't willing to take the fully guaranteed risk. So they are going to cut him before, I think they have to cut him before March 17th. Because he also gets an additional thing if he's there. But they're going to take, I don't know the exact number, but this is what I think it is, an $84 million cap hit. If they make him a post-June cut, they can spread it where they have to take a $40-some million cap hit this next year, and in 25, they take the rest of it. It's still gross. This team is not going to be competitive because they made such a stupid move. By the way, here's the other stupid thing. When they traded for Russell Wilson, he had 2 years left on his deal. They could have left that alone, but no, before he even played a game for them, they immediately did a restructured $200-some million contract. They should have traded for him fine if they wanted to, left the 2 years, at least played 1 year out and see what you got. And when you got the shit you got last year, they should have said, okay, Russ, we're going to see what you got this year. And then no. And then all they're out of all those picks, which is enough, but they're not only out all those picks, but they're out all this cap space. So they completely blundered it. Two bad moves in a row that have crippled this team. I would hate to be a fan of it, of this team.
Where does that leave, just as a, because we're not going to talk about the Broncos today, but where does that leave Sean Payton in coaching this team, I assume long-term, and you immediately ditch who was supposed to be the long-term quarterback for you, at least the next 4 years.
I believe it gets him, so you have to look at it this way. From an ownership perspective, they had your coach last year. Russell Wilson was a quarterback, and they were abysmal. Russell Wilson's still the quarterback this year. They were much better. In contention a lot of the year, beat Kansas City, did some good things, played good defense. But Russell Wilson still sucks garbage. They did a lot of things to hide his deficiencies. I believe that Sean Payton is charismatic enough that he's talked to ownership, and they wouldn't have done this without their blessing, and they've decided that Russell Wilson was the problem. He was gotten not under my watch. I inherited him by coming here.
Guys, and Russell here. Going, yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited.
You're telling me that guy is not the clubhouse leader for the Broncos? Really?
No, not Mr. Unlimited. So I think they're convinced that he's garbage, which I think the rest of us were convinced of that. And he's gone. So is a lot of this team next year. I don't think it'll look the same, obviously. So
all right.
They've got some on defense though.
Bridging our injuries, we got CJ Stroud. Rookie sensation coming back. He's going to be full go this week.
Yeah, it helps. They're still short on receiver. I mean, it hurts that Collins came back last week, so that'll be good. That's a boon for him. I mean, if somebody had him, which nobody does in
the
championship matchup, but boy, you're sparking him up.
Especially since they're only one game out the playoffs right now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to win, and they're – I believe they're playing Tennessee, which isn't, you know, you can throw on Tennessee. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're tied with the Colts, who are the current 7 seed for the AFC. I mean, they're tied for second in the AFC South. So, who's first in the AFC South? The Jags. They're both the Jags, one game out of the Jags.
Yeah, and the Jags are stumbling, and which is why they're pushing – for Lawrence to play this week. You're probably going to go on this on injuries, that he's got the shoulder issue and he practiced limited today. They're pushing to get him to play because if they lose, then he's done.
Trevor Lawrence done. Did not practice today.
Did not? Ooh.
DMV listed for practice today. I was going to bring it up. What's your confidence in the Jags? I mean, from the quarterback to the fantasy assets for this team that you may be starting in other championship
Zero.
Leagues? Or as nothing. A football team in general?
Nothing for any of them. Look, ETN, who started out great, has been borderline unstartable the last several weeks because they just can't get him going. Really, this team fell apart simultaneously when Christian Kirk got hurt for the year and when Lawrence got so banged up because his offensive line can't keep him upright. That's where they started to fall off. And if they lose again this week and you get Houston winning or even the Colts winning, they could take him. I don't know what the head-to-head is there, but the Jags are in danger of a major meltdown, a team that looked like they had that sewn up weeks ago to maybe dropping their last two and missing the playoffs entirely. So we'll see.
Yeah, the tail end of the AFC – playoffs, like the wild cards there is crazy. We don't need to get into it, but it's a wild race to look at. You mentioned earlier TJ Hockenson, ACL and MCL tear, done for the season. I mean,
not good and in danger at the start of the season, really, because of how late it happened, right?
Yeah, he's not a running back, so it's not going to have as long lasting effects as other major knee injuries have for running backs do.
True.
But, I mean, tight ends need to block. They need to have a solid base. So keep an eye out for him next year. The name might fool you a little bit. Rob, as a dynasty Jamar Chase owner, this is the only other one that I kind of saw scrolling through things. He's questionable with the shoulder, limited to practice this week, today, and yesterday. Are you starting Jamar Chase in your championship matchup?
I am not. Because word is that they are going to try to limp by this week without him because it is a severe AC sprain. And you might be able to get by with that as a running back. I know you can because Emmett did back in the day. You put a harness over and you run the ball and you just, when you fall, you try to fall on the other shoulder. But as a receiver, you've got to go up. You've got to reach up high. When you reach up above your head, that's where your AC joint hurts like a crazy person. And then he can't make the catches that he makes where he's jumping leaping to the side, because if you land on that, well, it's goodbye city. So he's practiced 2 days in a row, which is impressive, 1 week after an AC sprain. They said it was a 1 to 2, maybe 3 week injury. I just think it's going to lean on the two, and I don't think he's playing. Ryan, I don't have him in. If somehow he gets cleared tomorrow, I will, but no.
All right, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. But let's get into some discussion time about coaching.
Oh, it's coaching time.
Choose your character.
Oh, boy. I overestimated the time of that bumper.
Yeah. Still chewing.
Big broccoli in my mouth, so.
Nice. Broccoli's good for you.
All right, there we go. So, we've got at least six head coaching positions open in my eyes. Three firings midseason already.
Yep.
So, let's start with one of the first ones. The Raiders. Raiders fired, was it Matt McDaniels? Mike McDaniels? Well, there's something McDaniels. I forget who's who.
It was Mike McDaniels that's in Miami.
That's it.
Yeah. And then there's Josh McDaniels, who was the coach of the Raiders.
Josh McDaniels got fired. Yes.
Rightfully so. He's a shitty head coach.
Yeah. Decent offensive coordinator, allegedly. Allegedly. It's only. But yeah, interim Antonio Pierce, former player, takes over.
Yep.
Does well. I mean, they won their first game that he was a head coach. They struggled a couple, but then they blew out the Chargers, and then they just beat the Chiefs at home.
Yep.
Are the Raiders keeping Antonio Pierce? I do want to have you reminisce about Rich Bisaccia last year. Did fantastic. Defensive coordinator took over interim. Yep. Or no, 2 years ago. Sorry.
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
And won and got them, I think, just over 500 season. And then they didn't deal with him either. Do you stay with the interim this year, or what the fuck are they going to do?
Well, so it's hard to tell what's going to happen with that franchise because Al Davis's son, Mark, thank you, is not a great evaluator of anything. So you can look at it one of two ways. One, he does the same exact thing, doesn't care that the interim guy is a good leader of men, and will go out and try to get somebody he thinks, you know, the norm is don't have a defensive coach as your head coach. Offensive coaches are better head coaches. Defensive coaches should be defensive coordinators.
Right.
So he could do that. Or he could be the kind of owner that's like, well, I fucked it up last time. I should take the interim guy this time. I don't know where I land. I don't know Mark Davis good enough, obviously, or follow that organization. I don't know what they'll do. I think they should give Pierce a chance because he's shown that this team will fight for him.
I think
they need to get their quarterback situation figured out. You cannot go into next year with Aiden O'Connell as your freaking starter. I'm sorry, that's a mistake, but the old regime made the mistake of getting Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter, so you get what you get. But yeah. Yes, I think he should be given a chance.
I agree with you. I'm a big supporter of former player head coaches coaches who have success. I think that's good for a team, good for a culture, because they know how to run it. They know they've been there. They've seen what doesn't work. They know what does work. So I just like that as a qualifier.
Oh, I know you do, because you like Dan Campbell. As a former player who's a coach in the NFL, so.
And I think D'Amico Ryans is a coach of the year candidate. I think he's done a fantastic thing.
He's done a hell of a job.
And I mean, I think to an extreme limited degree, what's his name who came for the Colts last year? I'm drawing a blank. This lineman for the Colts who came back.
Oh, Jeff Saturday?
Saturday, I mean, I think...
Who was interim coach before?
Yeah, so I think he won the first game that he came in for, but I think he's... The vibe out of that locker room after the first couple of weeks was like, yeah, we're ready to go. Let's go. I mean, that's the coaching turnover, but also there's a lot that former players bring to the table.
Yes. Yes. Teams will play for him. The problem with Saturday, since you brought him up, was that he'd never coached before, so he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
At least these other guys have coached in the NFL at, you know, positional coaches, that kind of thing, which helps you. So.
Exactly. And then my last point on the Raiders is who's on your roster that you're going to attract a big time coach?
Oh, Davante Adams.
Who's there for what, 1 year?
Yeah. I mean, if they were smart, they'd get a ransom for him from somebody next year, trade for a bunch of picks and start over because though you do have the makings of an okay defense, you've got a great player in Max.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe you've got some, whoever they bring in is going to have a sit down with the stars there and sell them on their vision.
I think it should be Antonio Pierce. I think they'd be stupid to not give him a shot for a year.
Agreed. All right.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit more speculative. There we go. Nailed it.
Get it.
The Bears. Matt Eberflus on the hot seat. Yep. Everybody thought he was kind of last year. Is the Bears were supposed to be turning the corner on their rebuild this year. Didn't look good. Started to look good. Justin Fields gets injured. Still doesn't look great after he comes back. Where does Eberflus stand? Does he get fired? Is Fields the quarterback next year? What the hell are the Bears doing?
All right, so here's the thing with the Bears. One, I think Eberflus is on the hot seat. I don't think he has. You're looking for a head coach to, if he can't develop a quarterback, you're looking for him to hire the people that can do that. I don't think they've done that. I actually think that Fields played better last year as far as big explosive plays than he has this year. Now, granted, he got hurt for part of the year. I only think he's really had a two-game stretch, and that was those two games before he got hurt that they looked explosive. They really haven't improved on anything except their defense.
Yeah.
Which is an Eberflus thing because he was a defensive guy for Dallas. So fine. Good job. He was their coordinator before they got Dan Quinn. Hey, glad that happened. Enjoy your time. We'll keep Dan Quinn, please. The other thing is, okay, so does Justin Fields stay? I don't know. The Bears easily screw up high draft picks. They look like they could get the one because of Carolina, right?
Yep. And then they got another one also in like the top eight, right? Or they got their
own. Because of their own pick, right. Yeah. I mean, they should take, is it Williams, the kid out of USC?
Caleb, yeah.
Yeah. That's who they should take. But the guy's already kind of said that there's teams if he doesn't get drafted by somebody doesn't want to play for, if it looks like that, like there's a team at the top that would take him and he doesn't want to play for him, he might stay because of the whole money you can make selling your likeness. Yep. Which he can do. So I don't know. The Bears may get screwed out of getting a great quarterback, so they might have to stay with him. So I guess we'll see it unfold, but
it's a very interesting situation to look at. I mean,
it really is.
Eberflus hasn't done great. I mean, also last year's defense wasn't good. This year's defense started out terrible.
And there's been rumors they would love to have Harbaugh from Michigan.
Yeah.
Come coach him.
And that was also kind of a sub-segment to this is Jim Harbaugh. The word is that he was offered a deal for 5 years to stay with Michigan. It was like $130 million.
Lot of money.
But the caveat was he can't go to the NFL next year. He has to wait at least 1 year if he signs this.
Right.
So does he go? I mean, it's been bad for him there, publicity-wise, this last
year. Yes. I tell you what, if he wins the national championship this year,
oh, for sure he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. Yeah. If they win the national championship in the playoff thing, he's gone.
I'd say if they make
if he doesn't, there's a 50-50 chance he stays.
I'd say if he makes the game, he's gone.
I don't know. I think if he wins it, he's gone. He's like, you know what? I put up with all that. Still won the damn thing. Screw you, NCAA. I'm out.
Yeah.
Mic drop. I'm going to the NFL. So, but we'll see.
So let's talk about who I would think would be his number one target then, since it's a nice segue. Also, the best position for a potential head coach is the Chargers. My notes here are big oof, Brandon Staley. Also, Rob, I want to hear your opinions on Kellen Moore not being promoted to the head coach.
Instead of the other guy, what's his name?
What kind of questions does that raise about Kellen and all of the hype he had going into this year's for the Chargers offense? Is he not ready for a head coaching spot? What do you say?
I don't think he's ready for a head coaching spot, and I believe that he's probably gone after this year from the Chargers, because whoever gets hired, since they got rid of Staley already, whoever's going to get hired is going to want to pick their own coaches to play underneath them. I don't know who at all they're interested in. No clue. But like you said, it is probably, from an offensive standpoint, the most attractive of any of the openings because of the quarterback that you have. They need to fix that line so that they can keep him freaking upright. They need to do something about their receiver situation. I don't think you can keep Mike Williams on that team. He just gets hurt. All the talent in the world, but he gets hurt at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And I would be done with him. And you've got to probably move on from Austin Eckler. So you've got a lot of things you've got to do, but you're starting with a great quarterback. So
yeah, it's interesting. I think Justin Herbert's not been coached to his potential yet.
No, I don't like, the coaches that he's had have not been stellar. Let's just say that. So the fact that he's played the way he has through that just tells me that the talent that he's got, get him somebody good and they could do something.
All right, let's hit on another potential coach that could be heading there, because the Patriots, all words sounds like they're going to have a mutual parting of the ways. Bill Belichick and the Patriots at the end of this year. Yeah. Who takes over there? And obviously Bill's going to be a head coach somewhere on one of our six teams.
Probably.
So who is it?
I don't know. I don't know where he goes. I mean, I don't know what other teams think of him. I mean, they've really screwed the pooch here. You need a strong GM wherever he goes, so that they are like, hey, the GM's GMing. You're not going to do that, Bill. You're going to coach the team.
Or you go to the Chargers where they fired the head coach and GM, and he's already.
Here's the thing. He's done both, but he has done a terrible job as a GM for most of his tenure. It got covered up by Brady being there. They covered up the fact that they made for every two good personnel decisions they made eight terrible ones. So he did not have a great percentage in New England, but Brady covered that up. I don't know that you want to continue that in San Diego. Or I should say
LA.
LA now. God bless. I still say San Diego. Anyway, who New England would bring in? I have no clue.
Not a clue.
Part of me says they'll promote within because they're big on the New England culture.
Could be Bill O'Brien, who got there this year.
Could be, and I would hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like him I didn't like him in when he was with the Texans. I don't.
I thought he was fine. I mean,
I don't care for him as a coach.
Offensive head coach. It's once he took over the GM responsibilities is when that entire downfall happened.
So here's the thing. Now, maybe this biases me because it's recency bias, but he was the offensive coordinator for Alabama after the Texans let him go. And the current kid who is the quarterback for Alabama, who had a great year, He started off a little slow first couple games, so did Alabama, but they're in the college football playoffs. Told this quarterback that he should think about changing to another position.
Yeah.
That the quarterback wasn't his future. He gets fired from Alabama last year or leaves. Maybe he didn't get fired. Maybe he just left to go back to the NFL. They bring another guy in, and all of a sudden he develops him into a really good quarterback. So I don't know that I want Bill O'Brien coaching my offense. If the guy that's has a chance with a good team to maybe get the national title told him he should be a receiver or a tight end or a defensive back instead of being a quarterback. So fuck that guy.
All right, our last two teams are both on the East Coast still. Let's go Redskins. Commanders.
I'm not going to say Commanders. Yes,
Ron Rivera is out at the end of the season. They've said that they're going to evaluate him, quote-unquote, but he's done. That team's not good. They sold their defensive assets. New ownership doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Does Taylor Heineke attract a new head coach to the Washingtons?
No, well, so here's the thing. Well, Heineke's not there.
Sorry, I typed out Heineke, but it's not him. It's the other guy, Sam Howell.
Howell, and actually he's got benched, and now it's Jacoby Brissett.
Well, he's a one-year free agent. So does Sam Howell, the young guy,
Head coach. Howell probably won't be quarterbacking this team next year. They're probably drafting somebody. So, Riverboat Ron, gone city. And actually, I believe the ownership will, now that they've gotten rid of the past, which has sunk this team for years, the new ownership team, I think, will do a good job. I think they're going to turn it over to football people. So we'll see who they bring in. That'll be the thing. Who do they bring in? And I believe that they are going to let those people do their thing. They're wasting Terry McLaurin. They're wasting Gibson. They're wasting these good dynamic players with garbage.
Yeah, I mean, these players are both in those situations coming up on the end of their contracts. So trade them, bring in some brand new from the
college. It's highly possible. And if I'm a good team and...
Or Ben Johnson, like from the Lions, try to entice him over with a lot of money. I don't know.
Well, Carolina really wants the hell out of Ben Johnson because they tried to get him last year and he wanted to stay with Detroit. I guess it depends how far Detroit goes, but I've heard the asking price that Ben Johnson wants is a lot of money to be a head coach.
But also, let's just segue straight into Carolina.
I'm an expert at that.
Pepper is the owner there?
Yes, Pepper, yeah.
He's so hands-on.
Tepper
is what I said. But is him being so hands-on, because that he kind of ran Frank Reich out, he's meeting with him every other day, forced him to draft a young.
Yes.
Is he ruining this franchise right now with the way that he's running it? And it's like a young quarterback. You brought a coach in to coach the quarterback up, and now it's all fucked?
Yes. Yes, that franchise is going to be garbage and will continue to be garbage. They're going to have to stick with Young for at least another 2 years because you don't go one overall on a guy and bail on him after a year unless you're just a stupid franchise like the Redskins probably would do. But, yes, they have to at least stick with him for 2 to 3 years. And I do believe they made the wrong decision. But I guess we'll see who they bring in. I mean, who's going to want to work for that? I mean, so many bad things have come out about Tepper that who's going to want to do it? It's going to have to be somebody that's young and unproven that wants a shot at a gig. And he's going to have to strike gold and get lucky.
Yeah, I don't foresee a... I don't foresee a valuable way forward for a career to go there for somebody who wants to be a head coach.
I don't either. And you don't see many pieces there. They have an okay defense at times, but you've got a quarterback that you're unsure about. When your lead back is Chuba Hubbard.
Who's not bad. I mean,
he's not great. And Sanders looked like he was done last year, evidently, because he didn't play for shit this year. If Tommy Trimble is your tight end, and your receiver begins and ends with Adam Thielen.
Yeah. I mean, you got flashes of Lockjaw, TMJ, and what's his name? The rookie, Mingo. Mingo looked fine, but you got to have somebody better thrown to him.
I mean, he looked all right, but yeah, you need a lot of pieces there. Offensive line, first of all, because I think Young was sacked like a bazillion times per game.
Yeah.
So.
All right. 2 seconds. You got anything else to say about the head coachings or anything else as far as the NFL at proper goes? Shut up, you.
No, I think we're good to go. I think we could probably, swing into them matchups?
Yeah, matchups is the next thing. And you'll hear a special guest, Tyler, who's not supposed to be a guest, but he is today.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. But let's get into the matchups, Rob. It's been a great year.
It has been.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
All right. Our championship matchup this week is obviously by the best championship achiever of all time, playoff Blake, backdoor hot snake, 7-7, entering the playoffs, projected 147 points this week versus the Hawaiian Shaka's, the regular season extraordinaire, 11-3 entering the playoffs, projected 142. Currently, I got a 5-point gain here, I guess, if you want to say. Favored by 5. There we go. Nailed it. First try.
Good job.
So what we're going to do with this matchup, boys, is we're going to do it old school. So I'll list off both players, where they're playing, what times they're playing, and then you two can break down the actual matchups at each position. So it'll be quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight end, flexes, and then we can get into the bench from there. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Raj.
Cool. I was expecting one of you to say, sounds bad. Hate it.
Terrible.
Yeah, you both surprised me. So, like I said, currently I'm favored by 5 in this matchup. I think Monty and I, when we matched up earlier in the season, it was an injury took me down and he barely beat me. So I'm hoping for a nice solid rematch here. I've got Jared Goff at Dallas Saturday night. Spoiler alert, Rob and I will be at this game. So whether or not that throws another cog into the mix here, I don't know if we're going to be good or bad luck for football in person, Rob. But
good luck for football.
Shaka's has Tua Tagovailoa, Jesus, at Baltimore Sunday at noon. He is questionable going into this weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If either of these teams were playing any other team, I would say that the other team has a huge quarterback matchup. I think these are two top, seven, top five quarterbacks on the year. I don't know where Goff has finished, but I know Tua, has obviously had a good year. Goff is 8, right? Yeah. And both these guys, I think, are easily outside the top 10 this week. Goff going on the road at Dallas. We know about Goff's home run splits. And Tua has an abysmal matchup against Baltimore where he's already going to have Waddle gone. So, yeah, I don't like either one of these.
If I look at him, by the way, quick shout out to Shaka's, who you said earlier in the year, if it wasn't for an injury, I think that's how he got here was injuries. I think he just hurts teams. I had two guys go out last week, is lost by 8. I think Shaka's is like, Nancy Kerrigan people. Kerrigan? Nancying people. Anyway, to the matchup, I favor Goff in this immensely. I think he's going to have to keep up in a shootout. He's going to have all his weapons. They're playing inside. There's no weather issue. And like you said, Tyler, I hate Tua in this matchup, missing Waddle. So I think this easily favors Goff for me, even though Dallas is a good defense.
Goff last three on the road, 22 points, 10.5 points, 8.5 points. And it's New Orleans, Chicago, Minnesota. So it's not like they've been playing a juggernaut defenses on the road.
But to be fair, Chicago, Minnesota have been playing pretty decent defense recently.
Yep.
And New Orleans is
middle of the road.
Middle of the road. And Dallas has been bad on defense the last several weeks.
Against the run.
I was just going to say, especially against the run. So I guess spark up Jahmyr Gibbs. But I still think Jared Goff's going to get you more points than Tua here.
Yeah, and I went back and looked it up. Shotguns and I played in week 8. I lost by 5, 164 to 169. I don't think it was an injury issue. I just
okay.
George Pickens, he might have gotten banged up against Jacksonville, but he just did shit for me. Otherwise, it was an extremely close matchup.
All right.
Sorry, Ty, did you have your hand raised? I was not looking at
that. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because you got rid of George Pickens, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a stat, and God, I hope I bookmarked it in Twitter because I want to get it like perfect. George, there we go. George Pickens on the year has played 832 snaps of football, right?
Okay.
31, so a third of his fantasy production has come on 4 plays.
Wow. Yeah.
The George Pickens experience, everyone.
Welcome to it.
I thought it was going to be completely different this year. So moving into some running backs here, I have Austin Ekeler at Denver. I believe they are the 31st best run defense, according to ESPN. Like I said, at Denver Sunday afternoon, and then Breece Hall at Cleveland. They are playing tonight. They are kicking off at the point of this recording in an hour and a half. And that'll be a little spoiler for you guys as you listen to this podcast in full. It's going to be a little bit of a time warp, but we'll get into that later. Hawaiian Shakas have Jahmyr Gibbs at Dallas in that same Saturday night game, and then DeAndre Swift at their home against Arizona at noon on Sunday.
So for this, even though you just mentioned Ekeler, I like a lot of these matchups, but we already said Dallas has been doing terrible, and I even said spark up Jahmyr Gibbs. Yes, spark him up. He should do really well in this matchup. And Arizona has also been kind of garbage against the run. So I really like Swift here. And the fact that the Cleveland defense is okay, but they can be run on. So I do like Breece Hall, and he had a great game last week. Oh, God, this is really even, but I'm going to go with Gibbs and Swift by a little bit.
Yeah, I think this is easy, Gibbs and Swift, with how bad Dallas has been against the run ever since they lost Hankins and, even worse, Van Der Esch among all the rest of their linebackers. Ekeler, the problem is, even in the number one matchup, you can't trust him. You know, we talked about it last week. I think, Blake, did you end up benching him last week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about it there, having a good matchup. Again, this is the number one matchup, so, you know, you got to fire him up, but you can't trust him. So, yeah, this is Gibbs and Swift.
Yeah, Ekeler ended up with 11 points last week, but a little bit of a look ahead. I mean, the Steelers quarterback or running backs, they're playing at Seattle, which I'm not a fan of. So that's why Eckler's in there just with the matchup. So
Seattle has been a top 10 best matchup for running backs.
Yep. Yeah, so is Denver.
No,
I get you.
So
receivers. Mike Evans is home against New Orleans Sunday at noon. Amon-Ra St. Brown is at Dallas there. I'm going with the super stack this week. So those are my two guys. Shaka's CeeDee Lamb home against Detroit. I mean, there's a lot going on in this matchup in that game. And then DJ Moore is home against Atlanta playing Sunday at noon.
All right. So, you know, normally when we say Mike Evans against New Orleans, bench him. Marshawn Lattimore's on IR. He will not be playing. You're firing up Mike Evans. However, ever since a couple of weeks back where Chris Godwin came out and started to become the squeaky wheel, over the past three games, Chris Godwin has 342 air yards to Mike Evans' 222, so 120 more air yards, 286 receiving yards to Mike Evans' 151, so 130 more receiving yards, and has been the first read twice as much as Mike Evans. So this offense is doing has a concerted game plan to get the ball to Chris Godwin. So you've had to downgrade Mike Evans during the playoffs, and you know, you haven't gotten much of a warning to do it. you're still playing him. CD, he's a top three receiver this year. DJ Moore is very good against Atlanta. Amon-Ra should be just fine, although he'll probably get, well, I guess he's going to play in the slot, and Gilmore doesn't go in the slot much, does he?
No.
So he will be getting the Deron Bland treatment. So he might be able to get a couple, even though Bland might get his, Amon-Ra might get his as well. So I think this is a very even matchup. Just on stud power, give me CD and DJ Moore.
So I don't, this will be short because I can't add that it's the exact things I would say. CD is the number one guy of these four, and he's back at home, and Dallas is not going to lose at home. And coming off of two subpar performances, CD is going to eat against Detroit. So yeah, give me Lamb and Moore by a little bit because of Lamb.
Yeah, what was I know Gilmore went down in the game against Miami. Was he fine? What was that injury?
Yeah, he came back in. It looked bad when it happened because he like took his helmet off and some other stuff, and he came back a couple plays later and was fine.
All right, moving into tight end and describing further my super stack. I've got Sam Laporta at Dallas. Fuck three Lions. Tried it once before, didn't work out for me. We'll see how it goes this week. Monty has Isaiah Likely at home against Miami.
I mean, this is a good matchup because Isaiah Likely has done pretty well filling in for Mark Andrews. I believe he's been over 15 points three out of the last 4 weeks, or two out of the last three, something like that.
He's been at eight the other two. So
okay,
he's never been below eight since Mark Andrews went down.
Breaking news.
I'd be remiss if I never got to do this, but there was some news that just came through. Amari Cooper is officially out this week.
That's okay. You shouldn't have been starting him anyway. Jets have allowed, I think, four touchdowns all year to receivers. So Cooper shouldn't have been in your lineup anyway, even coming off of the blow up game last week.
Yeah. Yes. And I felt bad about it, but I took him out yesterday in Dynasty and I don't even have him in. So I don't even have to make an adjustment.
Yeah. So I've never gotten the opportunity to use the bumper. So I figured as soon as I saw that notification come across my board, I was like, here we go. Clicking it.
Yeah. This is going to be a bad week in Dynasty for me. I several receivers down.
So well, luckily your opponent has similar problems with Pacheco and Hockenson gone. So
right. Oh God, I have to play Warren. It hurts me to say so. All right. So back to Likely and Laporta. I mean, just based on the fact, so Likely is probably going to have a good solid game, but Laporta could have one of his three touchdown games and completely blow that out of the water. So just because of his huge upside, I'm going to give the edge here to Laporta by a little bit. But I think they're both good plays this week.
Yeah, I think surprisingly Likely actually has the floor this week versus Laporta. But yeah,
exactly.
So I think this is way more even than the names would show or, you know, you would think based on the entire year. And it's not going to surprise me at all if Likely outscores Laporta.
Would you say that it is Likely Laporta? Winning this
I would not.
I think Laporta has the upside and, like you said, Likely has the floor. And it just depends, what happens. But like Tyler said, it wouldn't be surprising that Likely gets 12 and Laporta gets 8.
And here's the thing. Detroit is not going to have to use Laporta to keep the chains moving like they normally do. Because I don't think they're going to get into 3rd and 6 ever.
No, they're going to be 3rd and 2 all the freaking time, right? Because they're going to give up 6 on first down to, I mean, anybody, whatever you want to put in there, Montgomery or Gibbs, and they'll be, it's going to be so gross. I'm going to hate it. Anyway.
All right. Flexing. We've got DeAndre Hopkins at Houston Sunday at noon for the Snakes. And I've got Debo Samuel. He's carrying a Q tag currently. They're at Washington Sunday, also at noon.
He always carries a Q tag on Wednesday.
Yep. Coming off a bad week for Debo. But Stephon Diggs is home against New England for the Shakas, along with Tyler Lockett at home against Pittsburgh, playing at noon and 3 o'clock, respectively, on Sunday.
All right, so I'm going to start with Lockett here. Pittsburgh gives up points to the receiver, but they give up points to the slot receiver in particular. So I think it's a JSN week, not a Lockett week. So downgrade him a little bit there. On the Hopkins side, I mean, you have Tannehill, and I don't know what Hopkins did last week. 4 points against Seattle with Tannehill. Don't love that. So these guys, relatively similar. I'll give the edge to Lockett just a hair, but not by much. So then we get to Diggs and Debo. Diggs has been off. Diggs lost me a matchup in other dynasty last week, among other things. Diggs, last six games has only been double digits once. You know, I don't think it's a him problem, but you know, you're going to go up against New England, which is a good defense. And then we get to Debo, San Francisco and Shanahan in particular. We know, you know, with the history there where his dad was the coach, that's kind of where Shanahan came up. He crushes Washington every time he plays them. He runs up the score. He doesn't give a shit. Debo's going to eat here. Tyler's lock of the week, Debo scores. So give me Debo and Hopkins because I think Debo is the number one option.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. That's exactly where I was going to go, is that Debo, especially even if you didn't have that connection issue, Washington's a garbage defense after they gave their two best players away at the trade deadline. And like you said, Diggs is down, and I don't care for Lockett in this matchup. I don't care for Hopkins if Tannehill plays. If Levis gets back in, I think you fire him up. But if Tannehill plays, I think you got to find a way to play somebody else.
Yep, I agree.
All right, defenses. I've got the Cowboys D, you know, really just loading in. I'll put all chips in the middle on this Cowboys-Lions matchup here is kind of what this championship matchup is.
Yeah, the problem is you're betting against yourself.
You know,
not necessarily. And I will let him finish, and then we can go into that.
The Eagles D is starting at home against Arizona for the Shockers. So go for it.
All right. So for defenses, we usually don't talk about them, but I'll stand up for Blake on this one in that most of Dallas's defensive touchdowns have been at home. And for Goff, he can still throw for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns, but he might make a goof here, throw here, and Bland could get his sixth pick six of the year. And really that's what you're looking for is scoring, not necessarily holding them to under 300 yards and holding them to 10 points, but you're looking for that score and a couple sacks, which I think will happen. And Dallas, I believe, gives you the best chance of getting double-digit points, so I like the play of Dallas. Eagles are whatever. Arizona's playing better. So I actually like the boys to actually score a defensive touchdown more than I do the Eagles.
Tyler did miss his second straight day of practice today with an illness. Just putting that out there.
Tyler did? Yep. It's a new DLC for Call of Duty is what he missed it for.
Got to use this to you lose him.
All right.
I just never like doing that. And granted, when we get into Blake's bench, I also think there's another adjustment that I would make that would mitigate this a little bit, but we'll get there when we get there. Right. I don't think the Bengals D is a bad play against Kansas City. Bengals have been playing well outside of what last week where they got torched for some fucking reason by Pittsburgh.
That's 100% why I don't want to play them against a KC team who's not feeling well and not playing well. I mean, I don't trust it that the Bengals D just got fucking torched and they're playing on the road. On the road. Fuck that.
I like the defense at home all the time. So, yep. I get it.
I did just make a move, though, if you guys want to talk about it. I snagged the Rams D playing against the Giants.
Oh.
They'll be up against Tyrod.
Tyrod.
I mean, yeah. You could think about that if you don't feel good about the Dallas one. But, boy, here I just stuck up for it for several reasons. And if you were to, I'm not going to jinx you, I'm not going to say shit.
Rob, you laid out exactly the reason why I started the Cowboys defense this week is exactly what you said. Goff is good for probably a pick, and that pick may turn into a touchdown or, you know, a Montgomery or a Gibbs fumble, and that turns into a touchdown. I don't know. It's happened several times this year.
Here's the thing with Goff, though. When Goff throws picks, he throws picks in bunches, right? Goff is one of those where if you have the game plan against Goff, he's going to struggle in all areas, and that's what's going to cause his mistakes. Since the bye, he's had 5 games with no picks, but in the other 2 games, he's had a combined 5 picks.
And so, were those road or home games?
Actually, both were against Chicago. He has 5 picks against Chicago since Chicago. The bye.
Yeah.
So Chicago has the game plan against him, but that's what I'm saying. If you have the game plan, then you will make Goff. But then that also means that, you know, you're capping your upside with, you know, all with of Goff, these Lions guys.
Yeah.
Because
it's true.
You're betting on the Cowboys having the game plan.
You're betting on them giving up scores and yards, but getting, you're asking for the best of both worlds. You're wanting your cake and eating it too. I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the way it goes. So I'll break down my bench here quick. I mean, the biggest question here.
What? Yeah, we need to talk about this one at length.
Josh Allen or Jared Goff?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've looked at 2 separate quarterback ranking sites for the Ballers and another one for fantasy quarterbacks going in this week. They both have Goff listed higher, finishing higher this week than Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a divisional game. Divisional opponents generally play better against each other than they do other teams. New England takes away their number one person. Josh Allen, I feel like, is going to have a struggled game this week. Jared Goff, like Rob said, the top of the matchup is going to be probably trying to keep up with Dallas at home. And if there's a team out there that can do it, Jared Goff and his Lions definitely have stayed in games when he's not broken down completely.
The Ballers do not have Goff over Allen.
They did yesterday.
They do not. They have Goff down at 12. They have Allen at 4.
They had Goff at like 5 or 6 and Allen at 7 or 8. Like they were listed next to each other, but Goff was ahead yesterday.
So here's the thing I would say to all of that is that the last time at New England, Allen did get 31.5. And the one thing in Allen's favor is him getting a rushing touchdown.
Exactly.
So that's something to think about. And they're playing at home. I would think about that.
Your floor is so much higher with Josh Allen. Your floor, I mean, granted, Dallas was the one bad game for Josh Allen in the last. Dallas was the worst game for Josh Allen, and he was at 17 points. And you've had, 2 games in the last 3 for Goff? Lower than that?
Yeah, you might have to think about that, just because you've got. Now, it worked for me in Dynasty where I had 3 Browns, but having 3 players from one, you really just have to have everything go right.
It's going to be a Saturday decision. I mean, Rob, you were sitting literally right next to me yesterday when I pulled up the rankings and told you what it was.
What was that, early in the morning?
After lunch.
Oh, it was after lunch? I was going to say, because I don't think Ballers published theirs until Wednesday, like Wednesday at noon.
Nope. Yeah, it was like 2:00.
Okay. Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like, that's crazy. I couldn't imagine making that shift, which you and I generally disagree on a lot of stuff. That's why we always discuss things on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes aggressively. But I don't know how you bench Josh Allen in favor of Goff.
I've laid it out. It's one of those things, Tyler, where which is why that you wanted to do your first dynasty team with me as a co-manager. It's that go heart of the cards. Got to go with your feelings, gut move, and that's kind of where I was sitting all week.
That was also why we took Philip Lindsay in the 4th round of our startup draft, and he played half a year and then was done forever.
He was great for while he played, and then he got injured. I mean, he got injured and like tore his knee or something like that in that season, and that's why he got fucked off.
Yeah, it wasn't anything serious, but yeah. Anyway.
Here's the thing. The Dallas-Detroit game by far has the highest over-under of all the games. So if you believe that this is a shootout game that's going to be 30-something to 28 or whatever, then I think you want a piece of that action, and he's got a lot of pieces of that action. In the New England one, we've already said that New England's got a good defense. You're just hoping Josh Allen gets 3 touchdowns, 2 of them passing, 1 of them rushing, which he got the last time they played in New England. That's exactly what he got. He passed for 200, had a rushing and two. If, for whatever reason, those rushing touchdowns were to go to Dalvin's younger brother, then all of a sudden you're looking at a 20-point game, and Goff could get a lot better than that. So I get it. I get it. It's a gut shot.
You know what it was? It wasn't that I looked at their list rankings, their consensus yesterday. I did their start-sit tool with our league's scoring inputted into it. It isn't. There's not an option for the bonuses, like the yardage bonus, shit like that. Yeah. Yesterday, it listed Goff better. I mean, they're still extremely close. Their projected points is Allen's going to get 24.8. Goff will get 24.1. So it's like neck and neck. I have the super stack there. They've got, you know, average 9.5 for Allen and an average of like 10.5 for Goff. Just doing quick math in my head.
Yeah.
I wonder what's so different about our quarterback scoring, that it's doing that versus the consensus. Like, what's so? I don't know, because like Blake said, you can't put in the bonuses. So I don't know what would be so different that it would change it that much. Because what I don't have the full tool, but it's fours across the board for Josh Allen, and you know, down at 10 or 12 for Jared Goff. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, the spread or the over under is what really makes me kind of lean Goff a little bit. It's going to be a high scoring game. Vegas thinks so. It could easily be, you know, both teams are in the 30s at this point. So
it could be.
That's where I'm sitting right now. It might change on Saturday, you know, when I've been drinking all day and living it up in Dallas. So who the fuck knows?
You're like, screw this. Dallas is going to kill him. It's going to be 38-10. Change.
But the rest of my bench, like I said before, I've got Jalen Warren, Najee Harris, the Steelers running backs at Seattle. Great matchups, like Tyler said. Steelers are on the road. I don't know how I feel about it, but the Hopkins news is really going, or the quarterback for Tennessee is going to change whether or not Hopkins is in there. I might toy with Clyde Edwards-Helaire if Pacheco misses another week. And that's
from my standpoint, I think Jaden Reed has to be in this lineup.
That's what I was just going to say, is if you don't do that, Jaden Reed would be a good play, because it seems like two of the other Green Bay people are going to miss. Watson, I don't believe, is going to play again. And there's still their tight end still out. But what's his name? Who's been the Kraft has been the replacement tight end, has done okay. But they're still going to this guy.
I see what Blake's about to say. Reed didn't play last week and is like a very real questionable this week.
Yes, and that's
he didn't. You're right. He didn't play at Carolina.
It's not looking great. Didn't play last week. He's limited today. Didn't practice
toe
yesterday.
And chest.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on Saturday, Sunday.
I do think the four options you have there of the Pittsburghs, Reed, and CEH, in my mind, all pretty comparable. So at that point, play who you like. And if you're feeling CEH, play CEH. And I'm not going to argue with you like I am about the Allen-Goff matchup.
I would if you hear Pacheco's out, which it looks increasingly like that's going to be the case, I would definitely play CEH because the pass catcher is out on IR. So he would get the show to himself pretty much.
All right, guys, what do you think about Monty's bench? What options does he have? Should he flip anybody out, in or out?
No, I mean, there's no way, even though there's a terrible matchup for Tua, and I don't like it, as Tyler is wont to say, it only takes one. And you've got Tyreek Hill there. It only takes one to get a Bomski. I'm certainly not playing Geno Smith, even though he's got a better matchup on paper against Pittsburgh. I'm not making that move. The only other guy with some upside here is Antonio Gibson if Brian Robinson Jr. doesn't play, because the other guy that came in, the rookie, is dead for the rest of the year. So he would technically, old school, get the whole thing to himself. And I can't trust any Denver player as far as I can throw them. but I don't see anybody I would replace. I'm certainly not, even though Diggs has his problems, not going to replace him. You know, Gibbs and Swift are awesome, and I think I'd still stick with Lockett over those choices. So I think he's got his optimum lineup in. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, you said most of it. Gibson is interesting to me, especially if Brian Robinson doesn't play, because he's going to be the only show in town. And what we've said for fucking years is if you give the load to Gibson, he's going to do it. Like, he's a good
running. He can three down you. You don't know whether. Yes, good. They're so dumb.
You know, Dalton Schultz is a potential flex consideration here, especially if CJ Stroud is. He's officially out of concussion protocol, isn't he? So he's playing?
Yes.
Yes, he's playing.
So I think Dalton Schultz definitely is a flex option. If you don't feel like you want to play the game with Tyler Lockett, I think you get the floor with Schultz.
Ooh. I forgot of one that I would 100% do. I know the Eagles on paper seem like a better matchup against Arizona. I would totally stick with the Ravens. Miami's missing pieces. They're going to be on the road, which they don't play well on the road. And they just intercepted Brock Purdy 4 freaking times to murder that team.
Yeah.
I would definitely stick with the Ravens this week and play them. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I think that one's really close. Again, I think you have the floor with the Ravens, and then it's just which defense has a better chance of hitting their upside. You definitely have blow-up potential if you play the Ravens, but yeah, I mean, they're damn good. Really good defense.
They scored 16 points against a San Francisco team at home, so.
All right, boys, let's pick this one.
All right.
I'm going to make you guys in the dice go first, since this is my championship, and I'll go last.
All right, I'll roll. Dice. Okay, you take dice. Do it.
I haven't done the dice in a while.
All right.
The dice is a even, so that's the Blakes, the Fighting Blakes, right?
The Fighting Blakes, yes.
Go for it, Rob.
You know what? I think Blakes are Blakes. As we talked about with Shakas, he's got his optimum. He doesn't have a lot of choices. Blake has some choices, I believe.
But we've also talked about in the past that that's not always a good thing, especially in a one-and-done game.
It isn't. But I believe Blake is on a destiny trail this year. I'm going to take the snakes.
Tyler.
I don't want to take the snakes with Goff being in the lineup. I have faith that Blake is going to make the not dumb decision to play Josh Allen over Jared Goff. And if that happens, I'm taking the snakes. As it sits right now, honestly, I do think it becomes a lot closer than it should be, because I don't believe in Goff over Allen. But you know, the Hopkins thing and being able to flip it out for 4 different options and all of them being good, you know, all of them being better than anything that Shakas can do if he has to make a panic move, I'm going to take the snakes.
There you go.
And I'm not breaking it up. Got to take myself. I mean, I'm sorry, Monty. I love you, but there's no way in hell I'm picking myself over.
Well,
you.
We've just
I'm picking you over myself.
We just jinxed Blake by going a 4-0.
Oh yeah, I'm dead.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's 100% going to make the wrong move. He's going to take Jared Goff out. He's going to blow up for 45, and Josh Allen will get hurt in the first quarter, and it'll all be over. We'll jinx it. So.
All right, boys, any final parting words before we close down our last, I almost to say this is our last regular season podcast, because the next one's going to be the year end, which is totally not even the same format as the rest of our podcast. We don't go over any matchups or anything.
No, we just BS so, about
the last podcast of our podcast regular season.
Yes.
Any final words?
Other than it was a good season, a crazy season, and yeah, I mean, it was nuts, and we'll see what happens.
My final word is toaster.
That sounds fantastic. All right, let's get the fuck out of here, guys.
Yep.